9 minutes past 11 here on Thursday morning on the 3rd of October 2019. Welcome if you've just joined us on Radio Sangam on 107.9 FM and of course on DAB Digital in Glasgow, Manchester and Birmingham and throughout the world on our free downloadable app. And it was lovely having Zaira Hanif on earlier on, a feisty lady who wears a hijab but drives a truck, something that's quite different and quite unique as well. We're going to be speaking to Agni a little later on in a few minutes' time, and the war in Syria, the civil war and whatever's been happening there for many years has taken a toll on the lives of many people and changed the futures of many as well. And whatever political front you sit on and whatever you think, it's undeniable that the devastation and the destruction on the human face of it all has had some sort of impact on people that are there. Families have been lost, businesses have been destroyed, and decades of history has gone into ruin and destruction as well. But through devastation comes hope sometimes, and positivity as well. And the story of Ghani is one of those as well. And his journey from Damascus to Huddersfield is one of those stories of hopes, one of those stories of positivity, and of somebody who was a successful person in Damascus, had a huge business as a hairdresser, a barber, and then had to leave that place, leave his family. And I met him a while ago when I went to have my haircut, and we were talking about what was happening in Syria and about life, and truly and genuinely I saw the emotion in his eyes and the tears in his eyes as well when he talked about his family and when he talked about the things that had happened in his life and about what he had to leave behind. And of course he has started a new life here in the United Kingdom, and this is now his home, and this is where his life is, and this is where his family is as well, and where his new life has begun, and this is a new chapter in his life and a new story here. But of course your home is always your home, and your history is your history, and your culture is your culture, and your childhood is your childhood, and where you grow up is you know, something that always lives and is buried deep in your heart as well. But we'll be talking to Ghani this morning about his journey here to the wonderful valleys of Huddersfield, which is very different. The green, mighty valleys of Huddersfield and the deserts and the dryness of Damascus as well. A very good morning to you, Ghani. How are you?
Good morning, Kaiser, and thanks for this introducing. That's great. Thank you.
I met you a few months ago when I went into your hairdresser's, your barber's shop, because you were offering these wonderful new therapies, I suppose. You know? And I'd had a tough day, and I thought to myself, you know what, it's not just a haircut that I need. I need a facial, I need a massage, I need to be pampered, and you know, and a couple of stressful meetings as well that day. And you know, we got talking about your life, I suppose.
Yes, we did.
And not only us, but certainly you know, the things that have happened to you as a refugee here in the United Kingdom has been picked up by many other people, including the BBC, where you've talked and been interviewed there as well about your journey and your life. But being local, I thought it'd be important to listen to your story here locally as well.
Yeah,
about things. So, tell us a little bit about your childhood first. So, you as you grew up, you know, how was your childhood?
Actually, you know what, that thing you missed it. Actually, I didn't mention you about it. Basically, I have born in Kuwait.
Oh wow!
Right, okay. So I was 9 years old when the war started there. So I have to move from Kuwait with my parents. So we literally lost everything first time when I was little. Kid, I was 9 years old. So I have learned from my parents how to build myself again. So basically, we went to Syria with nothing, right, when we went there. And I saw my parents, how they work hard to build themselves again and give us a new life. So, yeah, after that, I think the life was settled in Syria and we have everything settled. So I learned how to be a barber and do some courses, qualified as a barber in Syria, and I opened my own business shop, and it was really, really successful. But the war starts again in Syria, so I have to move with nothing.
That's really sad, because your first reason for your family to move was because of the war.
Of the war,
In Kuwait. So
1991.
So in reality, you know, most people in this world, you know, thankfully, thank goodness, do not experience the devastation of war, and you and your family experienced it twice.
That's correct. That's true. Yeah, but you know what? It's pushed me up to say it's nothing impossible. You can build yourself again. It's nothing impossible, but you have to work hard for it, and you achieve it, you see. So basically, when I moved from Syria because of the war, I literally have lost everything. So even when I went as asylum seekers to Jordan, I didn't take with me anything, basically, even clothes, because, you know, when the war starts, you don't think about anything. You just think how to be safe, how to move. That's it. So when I moved to Jordan, literally, I moved with nothing. So I work as a barber there as well, and build myself again, and rent a little room, and I registered to the United Nations as asylum seekers. And, you know, with that decision David Cameron made to bring a 20,000 refugee to England, that yes. was included me.
Right, okay.
Yeah, by United Nations, UNHCR, in Jordan. So, yeah, I came here in 19th of July, 2016. So when I came here, it was difficult for me, not because you have to build yourself from the beginning, no, because it's a new culture, new language, and everything is different. You know, when I moved from Syria to Jordan, it wasn't a big step, because same language.
The language is the same, so communication.
Same culture, same language. It wasn't really, it was difficult because you lost everything, you have to build everything from zero. But when I moved to England, it's minus zero, believe me, because I don't know how to speak English. I don't know how the culture. Everything in England is different. Even the traffic in the opposite way,
yes.
You know. So
well,
when I cross the road,
in the UK, we try to be very, very different. You know, we'll drive on the other side of the road just for the sake of it. You know.
Actually, yeah. When I cross the road, I don't know where I'm looking for, right or left.
Well, you know, it's an inspiration, really, because you've gone through some devastating and terrible times, really, and you've seen some things that, you know, you wouldn't wish people to see,
exactly,
tragedies, the devastation, the destruction, and probably the negative aspect of humanity, mm-hmm. because we always think of ourselves as bringing positivity to the planet, to Earth, to being intelligent beings and that sort of thing, and then when you see the same human beings being highly destructive towards each other for whatever reason, and you have to escape that destruction, and then you came to the UK. Was it an easy decision to come to the United Kingdom for yourself, or did you see it as an opportunity?
It wasn't easy decision, but I don't have another option. Uh-huh. So basically, in Jordan, I was asylum seekers, and we don't have a lot of rights there.
Right, okay.
So when I came here, it was like a chance to have a new life. I know it's hard, but like what did I say in the beginning? It's not impossible. You have to face your problem, you know. So basically, when I came here, I put like a challenge from day one. I just remember Shakespeare when he said, to be or not to be, that's it, the question. Uh-huh. So you have two options, or sit in the corner, do nothing, cry because of your past, of the war, or you have to face the problem and work hard to move on, if I can say that.
Yeah, absolutely. So you took on that challenge. You saw in England, we have this saying, you can see your glass half full or half empty. You know?
Exactly.
And you saw it as half full, as positive, something positive, and you came here. And whenever in my past life, as you know, I'm a teacher, and one of my main subjects that I teach is English literature and English. And to learn a new language, the easiest way to learn it is to immerse yourself in it, to be in that language, to be in that culture, when you don't have a choice and you have to communicate in that language. Was it easy for you to understand and adapt English, the language?
It's not easy, but it's not impossible. So basically, since when I came here, first day, I just look around Huddersfield where I can have English courses, for example, or how you can mix with people. So basically, I went to the library in town and just asked for English courses and sit, try to talk to the people. And I'm always have my notebook with me. So always when I pick a new word, just try to spell it in my language. Doesn't matter if you spell it in right from English to English. I was spell it from Arabic, from English to Arabic, and learn how to say it and ask people around me what that mean, what it is, you know. And I used Google Translate a lot, you know. Just to help me to learn the alphabet, if I can say that. So basically I start from like what they say, from minus. It's not my main language, and I don't know, even, you know, because you was teacher, you know, in our language we have a different alphabet, and you know, we write from opposite way,
and the verbs are different and the nouns are different.
Exactly.
And the different same grammar. Word can mean different things depending on the way that you say it as well.
Exactly. So in the beginning when I talk, people was laughing because I'm always put it in the opposite way. For example, I don't say red car, I say car red.
Car red.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Abdullah from Bangladesh says, Assalamu alaikum. Good to listen to you. Thank you, Abdullah.
Thank you, Abdullah.
Glad to listen to you. He's listening to us in the capital of Bangladesh there, and is one of our regular listeners as well. And So you went along, you tried to learn the language, you asked people. You took responsibility for yourself. You know, you did things yourself to make life easier for yourself.
True.
As well. And I suppose then the next step was you got onto some sort of courses, did you?
Yeah, you know, because we came through the United Nations, so we have a lot of support worker with us who supported us to be independent. So they put me in ESOL language, ESOL courses. Mm-hmm. That ESOL mean English for people they don't speak language, that first language.
Yeah.
So basically, I went to the ESOL and I do it like my priority. Oh. You say it.
Yeah, priority. Yeah, you said it very well there. Priority, yeah. You said it very well.
Yeah, yeah. That's it. So my goal just was that time just to learn English. Basically, I am a professional barber, like what did you say in the beginning. I have my skills. I can work as a barber, but the issue was you don't know how to engage with customer, how to talk to the customer, basically, because it's not my main language. So I spent just first 6 months, actually, around the town. I went to do the different, too many different chairs. They do English courses. I went to the library. So I just spent my time just to learn English. So first 6 months, it was my goal just to learn English. And I did it. So after 6 months, I went to Kirklees College, and they put me in good level. It was entry 2, entry 3 English. So I'm continue learning English anyway, and I start my barbering course as well. The reason why I did the barber course, just to learn the rules in England, how to be barber in England. Is different rules, basically, about the health and safety, about the hair texture, because, you know, England, or Huddersfield, if I can say, is multicultural, so you can find European people, Afro-Caribbean people, Asian people, so you have to know every hairstyle, not just your style in Middle East. So this is why I went to Kirklees College and registered in the barber course, and I'm qualified now as a professional barber. So it's give me a lot of skills, actually, improve my language, improve my confidence, and I learned a lot in England. Yeah, and if you ask me about my experience in England and Huddersfield, if I can say, basically people here, they treat me with, like, you can feel it's my home. I can't feel in my home from day one. So basically, I didn't feel I'm foreigner or any abusive because of my skin or my hair color or something like that. It's never happened, because I feel I'm more than welcome here. So basically, when people see you struggling to say something, they push you to say it. They help you how to build yourself. With all the supporting team around me, basically, I love Huddersfield.
Yeah, well, we can certainly tell that. And one of the things, certainly, from the culture that I come from, one of the sayings about English people is that they are the most welcoming people in the world, and they are the most giving people in the world. And it kind of, there's a saying that people of England, or British people, or English people, love you know, love people and look after people.
True.
And look after things around
True.
Them very,
True.
Very well. And it's seen as a really positive
True.
Thing about, you know, the indigenous English people, you know, British people
True.
In England, around the world, or certainly in the culture that I am from. And I think we've seen that time and time again through whenever charities are given or whenever there's
True.
Tragedies in
Yeah.
the world. People from England are very, very generous and very giving as well. You're listening to Radio Sangam on 107.9 FM, and if you've got a question for Ogani, or if you want me to ask him anything in particular, send us a WhatsApp message on 07444202155. He may not be able to answer your question, but we can certainly put it to him, and we'll see what he says as well. So, Ogani, so you moved from Kuwait to Syria with your family.
Yeah.
And then you moved from Syria to Jordan. Was that with your family or were you by yourself then?
No, it was on my own. When I moved, it was on my own because it was difficult to bring my family with me to place. I don't know where I'm going for.
Yeah.
So basically, I don't have job, I don't have home, I don't have anything there. So I don't have to bring my family to the dark place, if I can say.
Yeah.
So I went to Jordan and find job. First 3 months, I find job, I rent a little room, I bring my family over so I to make sure they are safe in safe place. Even when I came to England, I came on my own, so I don't take the risk and bring my family with me. Because like what did I say in the beginning, you can't give your family risk. You can't take the risk yourself,
yeah, yeah.
But you can't give it to your family. So I came here until when everything's okay, I'm settled, finally. I bring my family with me, so I have my family here now.
You have your family here now?
Yes.
Yeah, brilliant.
Yeah.
So you know, those although you're in a new place, which now you consider your home, and you feel very welcome here as well to Huddersfield, but your family is also with you as well. Did they find, can I ask who has come along with you? You know, who is it in your family? Can I ask that?
Yeah, you can ask what you want. Yeah, that's fine. So it's my mom and sisters. Yeah, my old mom, bless her, and my sisters. So basically, you know, the good thing in England, or can I say Huddersfield always? The good thing in Huddersfield, you can find what you want anytime. So, for example, if you look into church, you find. If you look to mosque, you find. If you like to halal food or pubs, whatever. So that multicultural, you feel like all the world, you can find it in Huddersfield.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So basically, when my mom came here, bless her, she asked for mosque. I say, yeah, we have mosque. We have everything here. We have halal food. We have Asian people. You can go to Quran lessons, or if you'd like to go to the church to learn English. So in the beginning, when I came here, I feel like what did I say? I'm going to dark place. I don't know where I'm going for. But since when I came to Huddersfield, the open culture here, everything is here. So I feel, yeah, I think I'm in my home and in the right place. And like what did you say? People here, they are really lovely and supported me a lot.
Yeah, but that's because we're in the north of Britain. You know, we're ultra supportive in the north of Britain. We're always smiling, always welcoming.
You know,
London is very different.
Oh, I have been there, but it's too busy for me.
It's too busy,
it's too busy, to be honest. Yeah.
Sometimes in London, people are so busy that it's difficult for them to take the time to smile. But they are lovely people wherever they are. We're not going to say much because we're broadcasting in London as well. So, you know, so now you're settled, your family's here.
Yeah.
So how long have you been here then?
3 years.
3 years in Huddersfield.
3 years. So I feel my new birthday was 19th of July, 16, because that's really it was like new birthdays. You have to learn. You know, when you have a new baby, you have to teach him everything, how to stand up, how to have to take
to
first
walk,
step.
Yeah, yeah.
First step, how to say mama, dad, or something like that. So I have been like a newborn baby. Since when I came, but I do it quickly. You know, I take the language quickly. I engage with the people quickly. Like did you say, you know, people here really support. Like, you know, when you're struggling with something, people direct try to support you, try to help you. Not just the English people, actually. All the community here, they are lovely and friendly. Like, I feel like Huddersfield is really like warm home with love.
Yeah.
You know, you don't feel you are a foreigner or you're struggling with something. You just look around you. A lot of people can help you.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's certainly a positive message for Huddersfield, which is nice because the town has had some negativity in the recent past, certainly. So it's
Didn't see it myself. I heard from people they talk about Huddersfield in a negative way, but yeah. I have lived here for 3 years now, and I didn't see anything what the people talk about abusive or risk things. Or No. You can walk anytime in the evening, in the night. There's nothing there.
Right, okay, well, that's some lovely words. We're just going on to a song, and then we'll be back speaking with Gunny about his life and how things have changed for him. Okay, for all you Habibis out there, we've got Gunny here, and we're talking to him about his life and his journey, and he's gone from Kuwait to Syria, from Syria to Jordan, and then from Jordan to Huddersfield, and things have, changed here, moved on, and he's found more new opportunities in life, and his family's now joined him as well here, and he started a course in at Kirklees College. That is the main college here in Huddersfield, in Kirklees, the FE college here. And he started working here, doing at college, doing courses and things. So we'll let the story continue with what else happened afterwards. So, Lenny, you've joined the college, so you're now at college. You started to learn about the health and safety aspects of being mm-hmm. a barber in the mm-hmm. in the UK mm-hmm. and those sorts of things. So what happened next in this journey of yours?
So I would like to talk about Kirklees College in the beginning before I talk about my story.
Okay.
So
yes.
If you don't mind. So basically when I joined Kirklees College, I had like a mental health issue because of the war. And you know, when you broke in too many times, it's not first time, like what did I say in the beginning. So basically all the team there, like ESOL team and the teachers there. So basically they concerned about me because they know I'm already have like a mental health issue. And I have like, it was then that time. Like I have a short memory, you know, so I forget something. So they try to build my confidence and build my memory again, and they offer me like a psychology, it's called PTSD. So I forget something. So basically the ESOL team tried to support me just to build my memory again. They offer me psychology. So basically Kirklees College and Kirklees Council have supported me a lot to be who I am now.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. So basically they concerned about me, and they always, are you okay, Gani? Do you remember this? Do you remember that? Until when I built myself again. Do you know what I mean? So after that, I continue my education as barber, and I still learn English until now. So I qualified as a barber. It was 2 years course.
Right.
Yeah, and like what did I say? They teach me the health and safety, how to deal with hair, how to use the chemical, which is in our countries in Middle East, they don't care about chemical things, or they don't know how to use the chemical in the right way. They don't care about the effect, which is, I was barber for 15 years in my country, but I didn't know how to use that chemical things. Which is strange, isn't it?
No, which is strange, because different countries have different norms. But saying that, I've seen some YouTube videos where people are setting people's hair on fire in barbers shops, and then brushing it out. You know, so it's kind of different countries do different things.
Yeah,
you know. So I was born in Pakistan.
Yeah.
So when I used to go to the barbers in Pakistan, you'd never go for a haircut. And nobody would even ask you. You'd go for a haircut, and they'd finish your haircut. Then they start colouring your hair. You didn't even ask for it, and then they'd start colouring your hair. Then they finished colouring your hair. Then they'd start putting cream on your face and started massaging your face, and then your neck and your shoulders. And you'd go to the barbers, and it was a three-hour journey into some abyss of some sort.
So it's a relaxing journey.
Relaxing, but also, you know, there was no culture of, is this what you want? You just went in and said, yeah, this is what you're having. You know, whether you like it or not. Whereas here in the UK, you'd go to the barbers and they'd say, right, okay, what sort of haircut do you want? do you want short back and sides, or do you want a grade 2, grade 3 in the machine, whatever it was, you know. And that was it. You would only get that, and that's it, nothing more.
Yeah. You know. Yeah, I know where you're coming from. I know what do you mean, but I try to say, basically here they care about health and safety more.
Yeah.
And I think the products in England, a lot of chemical products or something like that, so you have to know how to deal with it. You can't come from far away, just use this product to your customer without any information.
Yeah, yeah, without having the knowledge.
Exactly. Yeah. So this is what I try to say. Basically, when you came here, they have, they explain to you everything about every little product and how to use it. So you can't just come from far away, open your shop and do it, because you're going to struggle with the products.
Absolutely. So that's something that you learned at the college.
Yeah.
And your English language carried on, and they helped you build up things with regards to memory and retaining information.
Yeah, flashbacks.
Flashbacks and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then your next step, really, because I met you
in a barber's
shop.
So, and I think so you have a good service. Do you like back someone, you have a massage, a relaxing.
That's right, it's true. Yeah, you do. And
it's
you know
a three-hour journey.
And this is positive, isn't it? Because, you know, when different cultures mix together.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about people from traditional English people, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because a traditional English person will have gone to a barber's and had a haircut.
Mm-hmm.
But now that you can go to a barber's and it's more than a haircut, you know.
Yeah.
You can sit in a chair and have your hair washed whilst the chair's giving you a massage, you know.
I think you enjoy it.
Yeah, that's right. So it's very, very different. And what's happened is that integration of cultures, or that melting pot and that mixture of different traditions, different cultures, has made the place richer, warmer,
exactly.
Brought something different to everybody, different experiences.
True.
You don't have to go to Turkey for a Turkish hammam anymore, do you? You know, save on your flights, save the environment, stay here, get a Turkish hammam here instead.
Welcome,
you know, those sorts of things. You know, so how was the jump between you going to college, you learning about health and safety, and about what barbers need to know about chemicals and things here in the UK, and you being in a shop?
Yeah. I feel I'm on my place, on the right place. Do you know what I mean? So after when I qualified as a barber, I feel like, yes, I'm ready to open my own shop, because I have all the skills now.
Mm-hmm.
So I just meet my partner. He's not a barber, he's a businessman, and he's looking for some idea to have a job, and I have my qualification, I have my experience. So I meet my partner, he's called Cam. Yeah. So I meet Cam, and we sit together and talk about that business, the barbershop. So basically, we started last October, a New Look Salon, it's called New Look Salon in Huddersfield, in the town center. And we did very well, like you yourself came there, and I think you're happy with that service day.
I am, yeah.
Yeah, so we built that shop, and we're looking forward to have our own academy, because since when I qualified as a barber, you know, because of my experience, my teacher recommended me to be teacher there. So he said, Gani, you know what? You have a lot of skills, you have a good experience, you should be teacher. So he offered me that idea, and I thought about it. I say, why not? So we built our shop now, and we have our own customer, and we're happy with that barbershop, but we're looking forward now to have our own academy. So I'm doing now a teaching training course in Kirklees College as well, and we're looking forward to have our own academy. But the goal is to help the refugees to be a barbers. So basically, since when I came, I was struggling with the English, did I? So our goal now to do academy and help the asylum seekers or refugees to do like an ESOL course. It should be just a specific for a barber and hairdressing, and we're gonna teach them how to be a barber, and maybe if they do very well, we can offer them job in our shop, or they can open their own shops. So we're looking forward to help the community.
Right, okay. So in reality, you've gone from being helped yourself to
help the people.
To help other people that have been maybe in similar situations.
Yes.
To yourself.
True.
As well. We're going to have to go to a very, very quick break. So we'll be back after that. And this Gani's story will continue with regards to his next steps as well. Rain spreading eastwards through the evening, accompanied by brisk winds. Rain will be heavy at times, but should become lighter and patchier later in the night. Minimum temperatures 8 degrees Celsius. Welcome to the UK. Welcome to rain. Welcome to winter. And you know what? I love it. I love it. I've been desperately wanting to see the snow, and it hasn't arrived for the last couple of years. So hopefully the snow will be great this year, and the children will enjoy throwing snowballs and things, because I think, you know, kids have been missing out on that sort of thing. They've missed out on trudging and sledging and, you know, playing out in the snow. So let's hope some of that happens as well. Our guest again is still with us, and we're talking to him. We've got a few more minutes left towards the end of this programme. Anila Aslam with you next, with her wonderful words about life and her advice and guidance, and also she might tell you how to make a cake today, so you never know. And you know what, I've tasted her cakes and they are really, really good, and when she decorates them, you know, perfection to the eye as well. So Gunny, we've been talking to you about you know, your journey, and we've come back to the academy, and now you're talking about opening an academy, helping other people that maybe have come through similar situations as mm-hmm. yourself, mm-hmm. And helping them to learn maybe the language, yeah. Maybe even the skills to do with being a barber as well. Mm-hmm. And you're doing a teaching qualification at college, yeah. to help you do that. So in 3 years' time, when I meet Gani in 3 years' time, what will I see? What will happen? What are the ambitions? What are the dreams? What future do you see for yourself?
So hopefully, I'm looking for my academy now. And like what they say, I would like to help other people to be barbers. So if that would be, if it's successful, I'm looking for beauty center. So basically, I'm going to teach all my staff, the student, how to be barbers. And I'm looking for beauty center, actually. Yeah, I'm looking for a beauty center, a big beauty center, or Gani Academy, Gani Beauty Center.
The Gani Academy, the Gani Beauty Center. Wow. And your friend Cam,
yeah,
who was your like a business partner or somebody that, yeah. you know, that does the business you know, with you, mm-hmm. What's his thoughts? You know, you work together, you've built up this this barber's place. Is he pleased with what's happening?
Actually, he's trust me from the beginning. He say, listen, I trust you. You make the decisions. So basically, what I'm doing, he's really happy. So when I say the next step, it will be this. The next step will be that. So he say, yeah, just go for it. So basically, yeah, he's very happy to do our academy, and he's looking forward actually to have a beauty center. Like what did you see in New Look Salon, we have the specialist with Afro-Caribbean hair. It's mm-hmm. part yeah, of yeah. our job, and we have the massage room now inside. So basically, we try to not just be a barber. Basically, we're looking for a beauty center.
Yeah, so you're trying to expand and yeah. bring different things yeah. into the center for people. That's really good. You know, it's nice to hear a positive story that's come out of a tragic situation, really. Your family,
mm-hmm.
so they've arrived, they've seen, this is radio, so you can't see him, but this gentleman's got this lovely infectious smile, you know, is always happy, always smiling with a twinkle in his eye, and, you know, is looking forward to this this wonderful future as well.
Thank you.
So your family arrives
yeah.
here in the UK, and they see you.
Yes.
Do they see you as a different person to when they saw you in Syria and Jordan?
Completely different. Completely different.
And what does your mother say?
Oh, she's surprised, actually. Because I picked some English culture, you see. I be cool more. I stop to use my body language. I stop to shout a lot because, you know, it's part of our culture to shout.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she meet a new person, actually. And my sister, Basima, as well, she said, oh, it changed a lot in this 3 years because they came recently. So yeah, they're really happy with that improve. England improved me a lot. It's had a lot of skills for me, not just Kirklees College. You know, English people, they are really polite. So, for example, oh, please, thank you, that little word, it makes sense.
It does. And you know, if you go to, you've just mentioned something that's just reminded me, a friend of mine who speaks Arabic as well. When you go to Egypt,
yeah.
and this is ladies in particular, older ladies, shouting is part of the culture, and hand gestures as well, you know, the hand gestures, body language, whilst you're shouting. But it's not, it's not actually negative, because that's just the way of life there.
Part of the life,
you know. But of course, if you're in England and you're just constantly shouting at people, they'll wonder what's wrong with you. I'll find it extremely rude.
In the beginning, it's so rude. I said, no, it's not, I'm not rude. It is what it is. No, Gani, you can't do that. So they teach me how to be polite more, how to don't use my hand a lot when I talk, you know, to like use like a little voice. Oh, excuse me, can I have this, please? But excuse me, can I have that, please?
When we talk to children in schools, because I was just talking about about education, they say use your soft voice or use your polite voice, you know,
exactly,
when you're talking,
yeah,
or you know, use your friendly voice when you're speaking to people.
My mom and sister, they're surprised, like, oh, you are different Gani now. I say, yeah, it's England.
So have they settled well into England? Have they, you know, have their experience, obviously their experience is different to yours, what you're doing is different to them,
true,
but have they found it as easy an adjustment? Are they happy?
100%, 110%. Like what they say from the beginning.
Yeah.
Huddersfield is multicultural, it's open. So if they're gonna go to pray, for example, they have a mosque. If they're gonna have halal food, they find everything around. So yeah, they don't feel they are a foreigner. In regard to the language, My sister, she's good. She's tried to pick the language quickly, like me. But my mom started to go to the ESOL course and the church and something like that. I feel like they're more than happy in this country. Especially like what they say, with a lot of support of the team. I would like to thank every single person who's supported me since when I came here. They give the same support package to my family. So my family, they feel like they didn't feel they are foreigner. You know, especially my mom, bless her, in her age now, she's around 70. So I was panicking when she came here. I feel, oh, is she going to accept the new culture or no? But in Huddersfield, like what they say, it's multicultural. So she did engage with people quickly.
Wow. Gani, it's been absolutely wonderful meeting you.
Thank you.
Talking to you. I wish you all the best.
Thank you.
For the future. And I'm sure, in time to come, we'll have a chat with you again about your next steps in the journey.
Thank you. If I can have 1 minute, can I?
Of course.
Basically, in this 1 minute, I would like to thank every single person in Huddersfield who give me support. They change me from that person, Gani, come broken, shouting. Like, you know, I was broken, and they give me a lot of support to be who I am now. Thanks for every single person who supported me. Kirklees Council, Horton Housing, every single person who's Kirklees College. I don't know, maybe I'm going to forget somebody, but honestly, I would not like to mention names, because definitely I'm going to forget someone. But thanks for Huddersfield. Thanks for the community here. Thanks for every single person who's given me support. And I'm looking forward to help other people to be successful like me in Huddersfield. I love Huddersfield. It's my home now.
What a lovely person, and what wonderful words to finish the program on. Thank you very much for listening to me this morning and putting up with me, because I know it's always difficult listening to me. It's Anila Aslam next, and we'll be I'll let you join her. From me, it's goodbye. Do take care of yourselves. Enjoy the rest of your day, and keep on listening to Radio Sangam.